clear to her colleagues she will oppose a tax bill if it includes a 4% cut in Medicare, as has been discussed. President Trump pushing hard to get Republican candidate Roy Moore the win in Alabama's Senate race tomorrow. Trump is the voice behind a robocall supporting Moore and saying of Moore's Democratic opponent, Doug Jones,
he will vote with the Washington liberals every single time.
Firefighters in California still have work cut out for them as the fifth largest blaze in the state's history, the Thomas Fire, is still growing after already burning 230,000 acres and leaving nearly 800 structures destroyed. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Snow falling across Europe is creating an air travel nightmare. Hundreds of KLM flights in the Netherlands are canceled. Over 300 flights were canceled yesterday at Frankfurt Airport, the busiest in Germany. And the scene's not any better on the German roads today, as heavy snow has caused a lot of crashes as well as train delays. The nominations for the 75th annual Golden Globe Awards have just been announced. Actress Sharon Stone reading the nominees for Best Motion Picture Drama.
Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Nominees for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy, The Disaster Artist, Get Out, The Greatest Showman, I, Tonya, and Lady Bird. The Golden Globe Awards will be held at the Beverly Hilton Hotel on January 7th. Seth Meyers will be hosting the show that will air on NBC. The price of Bitcoin is skyrocketing again, and now Bitcoin futures are officially trading on an exchange, the Cboe Futures Exchange, opening yesterday, and within hours, prices for Bitcoin had jumped 10%, triggering a temporary trading halt. Futures went up 20% again a short time later, which triggered another halt. Bitcoin is volatile, but backers of the digital cryptocurrency say the trading of futures is a step towards real legitimacy. You don't need Bitcoin to check us out online. We're free at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. 38 degrees outside our studios. Sunny, a high approaching 40 today. Slight chance of snow later on tonight, maybe 20%, and maybe sleet early in the morning and changing over to rain. Tuesday night, slight chance of rain and snow showers in the early evening, and maybe changing to snow later on. Sunny on Wednesday, high near 30, down in the teens on Wednesday night, the same for Thursday. Friday, again, a chance of snow showers, at least from here. Otherwise sunny with a high in the mid-30s. Chance of snow continuing into Friday night and sunny on Saturday. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Kinslow here, Chef Bill's Table, on Mondays Live at this time, and all always available on Rewind or podcasts. The chef at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington, and continuing to serve the community after 26 years. So we've got another food celebration coming up, right? Actually, a couple of them. Christmas and, well, we've got Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Heavy schedule coming up. And whether you celebrate Christmas or not, it is still a day when many businesses are closed, people are off. And whatever your reason, enjoy the day. Doesn't seem to get the food press buildup that Thanksgiving does. And Thanksgiving, of course, it's a single focus. It's all about the turkey for most people and tradition. And Christmas now depends on your schedule. Some folks celebrate Christmas Eve, some Christmas Day, some do both. I always like the Feast of the Seven Fishes. Supposedly, it's a partial fasting day for Roman Catholics, Christmas Eve. And of course, our nice friends in Italy turned it into something special. And seven fishes, of course, many traditionally was probably things that many people would be familiar with. I call it really down-home country cooking, not always elegant lobster and shrimp, although there should be plenty of those around now. Kind of change it up a little bit. But we always do, we'll do a pasta at the restaurant that incorporates seven fishes. And it's either in a red or a white sauce. That seems to be, I mean, for us, it's a good dish. And if you think of like a cioppino, those kind of things, a fish stew. I always like to top it with something fried, though. We usually do the fried calamari, a little bit of crunch instead of breadcrumbs or some other, whenever you ever have a soft dish like that, you want a little crunchy things in there. The other way would be a platter. Some folks do several courses. Some restaurants even, you know, if they do tasting menus anyway. It's nice to have a progression of different fish prepared in different ways. So that's always an option. If Christmas Eve is when your get-together is, if you like seafood, there's many ways to theme it. Everybody has some favorite dishes, and some can be done ahead. Of course, seafood doesn't take that long to cook, but you want to get your prep done ahead. And the other option, of course, Christmas, we'd think of a roast again for most people. And if you're not celebrating Christmas, it's hard to get, the traditionally was always getting something takeout. Of course, when I worked in hotels, resort hotels, Christmas was a big time for us. The house was full. People skiing for their vacations, kids are off from school, so we would have to work extra hard. And the staff knows when you sign on for a winter resort like that, Lake Placid is where it was, you do a little bit extra for your guests because they are away from home and you try to make them feel at home with all the comforts, you know, with cookies and hot chocolate in the afternoon and maybe some special things. Dinner could be buffet style, buffets are not easier to execute, by the way, just because people are serving themselves. You usually have many more dishes to prepare, get better variety, and even for service, the servers they're not serving courses where everything's organized. You kind of have to pay more attention to the table. So, but buffets really afford, for the guests anyway, breaks down that formal meal progression. You can eat at your leisure, your pace that you like. You can try different things in a different order. Or if you don't care for something, you just don't take it. So I do a buffet on Christmas, buffet style. Everything served really at the same time. When my guests show up, it's 3 o'clock. So, you know, a lot of times people might have a late breakfast. And it doesn't keep people up too late on Christmas night, because it's a long day anyway. And many people are out visiting. Sometimes you stop by extended family or friends. Stop by and say hello. So for me, I put everything. I have food that can be served nicely at room temperature and some chilled. And then, of course, the hot food, I have the holding equipment. I have a couple of rectangular slow cookers that have thermometers on them, thermostats, so you can actually can cook in them also. But make a great chafing dish, as it were. They don't have to worry about flames. Plug them in and hold your hot food. I always make a soup, and I make a pasta. Again, I like that variety. And we have, you know, a good roast, and sometimes it's been a nice roast filet. Filet is nice because it's easy to eat, and you can get some rare and well done because of the tapering of the roast. You get different degrees of doneness. A sirloin strip is a really nice roast if you've never done that before. I know many people think of prime rib or standing rib roast, and those are not really difficult to cook, but depending on which end you get of the rib, if you get the chuck end, which has a little more fat and more flavor, you know, you're going to be careful. You don't want to, even if you like it rare, you want to get it to a good medium rare. And it means, you know, slow cooking I like, but also letting it rest and check the temperature. If you need to blast it again just before service, that's fine. But when I present in these slow cookers, I slice the roast. One year, it's funny, fortunately I can do my prep at the restaurant because I work Christmas Eve. So a little hour or so of cutting vegetables and things is always nice. So Sunday morning I get up and I start making my soup, and you know, it's about 10:30, and I want to turn the oven on. And turn the dial, and nothing happens. I'm looking in there. The pilot's not lit. Okay, I'll light the pilot light. Couldn't light the pilot light. It turns out the thermocouple went bad. That little device that opens up the gas valve. So here I am. Now it's about 11 o'clock, and I've got people coming at 3, and I don't have an oven. And I have a roast and a lasagna that I'm ready to cook. So I use these slow cookers. I was going to use them anyway to hold food hot, and lo and behold, that year I was doing a pork roast, a boneless pork loin, which is a very nice roast, not expensive at all. Takes on the winter vegetables, roasted vegetables. You make a nice gravy or a sauce for it. Don't have to worry about doneness. You're cooking it. It's tender. You can slice it thinly or thickly, whatever way you want, but it's a very good roast. And so I fired up the slow cookers. I put the one on 375, and it was big enough to hold this half pan of lasagna that I had made. So that went in. It's got a metal top, and the cheese browned a little bit. Believe it or not, these things do act like ovens. You don't just have to simmer in them. And then the other one I fired up to 450, turned it up all the way, and was able to brown the roast a little bit on the outside, kind of like sautéing it, and then put in the vegetables and the broth and cut it down to 250, simmering, and put the cover on and let her go. And it was kind of neat because it didn't get the house all hot from the oven being on, because that's always the other issue. You're baking things, and then you've got a bunch of people coming over, and here in New Jersey, it usually doesn't get that cold. You end up opening the doors and windows on Christmas Day because the house gets too warm. So I did a stovetop cooking, and I always have a couple, again, the soup. The burners worked on the stove, so that was fine. And pulled the meal off with tabletop cookers. So just nice to have a plan B. But anyway, the roast, many options out there. So if you like beef, the strip, the filet, the rib roast. If there's only a couple of you, of course, nothing wrong with a big double cut, what you call cowboy steaks, or even a bone-in strip. You can get those, the ribs, the rib steaks, you can get them, you know, a couple of pounds, get a whole bone. And those, you don't even have to, you don't have to grill if you have, if you want to fire up your outdoor grill, but in the pan and finished in the oven is fine. I like cast iron. You get a nice crust on the meat and then finish it in your oven at 500 degrees broiler temperature. Broiling under the oven, the broilers in the gas oven, so a little bit too moist, too much moisture in there, and you don't get that nice browning. But a double cowboy or a porterhouse steak, there's only a couple or three of you, would be a great meal if beef is your thing. Roast duck, again, a little bit of handling with the fat, but duck, yeah, a duck is good for two people, or you could probably stretch it to three if you get a good-sized duck. Turkey, of course, in our household, it was always, when I was growing up, we had turkey twice a year, and it was Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and explore some more ideas on this. And, I don't know, I found a couple of side dishes and maybe some other thoughts on what we could do, maybe if you're hosting a brunch or even brunch for your family. Get into a little bit of baking. Not so much the cookies and pies and cakes, although, you know, those deserve some attention. It's cookie season, but we're just going to kind of bounce around today and between this week and next week and throw some ideas out there for food for Christmas and New Year's. Chef Bill's Table.
The things you think are useless, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Throwing away the time? Are you gathering?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at the table here. So for our holiday meals, as we left off talking about roasts, ham or again, pork loin is always good. A pork rack, crown roast. When we had a butcher shop, Milford Market, crown roast and the rib roast were the two big items for the holidays. And the crown roast is simply a pork loin with the bones Frenched and turned around in a nice circle with the bones kind of pointing outwards. You could put stuffing in the middle. Nice showpiece. But if you don't need a showpiece, then just simply take a center-cut pork loin, or the rib section is probably the better. And you have to have the butcher cut off what's called the chine bone, C-H-I-N-E, and that way you can cut right between the chops easily. And I'm sure you could probably find small roasts already done like that, but you want to get that bone off of there. The loin end has the tenderloin in it. You get it more like a porterhouse. Those are better cut into chops. Lamb leg. If you're a lamb fan, lamb leg is always a nice, beautiful, tender roast, especially if you skin most of the fat off of it. You won't get the stronger flavor, although I do like that flavor. Last week, the Times mentioned the rack of lamb. Again, if you're just two or three of you and you can spend a little money on a good meal, a lamb rack is the way to go. And that's a quick cooker, too. You know, 30, 35 minutes, cook it at a high heat and let it rest and then cut it into the chops. So what to serve with our roast? Did something last week. We had lamb shanks at the restaurant. Picked some up. Yeah, the weather's turning cold. I'd like to do the braises there. We'll be doing some boneless short ribs, things like that during the winter months. So I wanted to do a vegetable puree. Usually you think mashed potatoes, then you need a vegetable and whatever. And we have all these nice root vegetables. So I made a root vegetable puree. And I didn't really have any white potatoes in there. I used sweet potatoes. So it had carrots, parsnips, white turnips, and celery root, and sweet potatoes. Five vegetables. Each contribute their own unique flavor. It's kind of cool because you could have mashed sweet potatoes. You could puree any single one of those vegetables, and it would be nice. And I thought, so I've seen presentations done them where you maybe do two or three purees and arrange them on the plate. But I thought, well, let me put all these together and make a puree out of that. They'll all puree well, and it'll be nice, vitamin-packed, good, healthy. And I say I do like potatoes, but the sweet potatoes are very good in there. So what I did is I cut peeled and cut the vegetables into cubes. The celery root, the turnips, and the carrots, and the parsnips. The parsnips, I took the core out of the center, and we roasted them. Not till they were fully cooked, but just to get a little bit of browning on them. Plus, it gets some of the moisture out of there, concentrates the flavor. And the sweet potatoes, you could roast or not roast, either way, but cut those again, peel them and cut them into cubes. So we had our roasted vegetables. Now, we could have served them that way. Be perfectly good. Season them up, a little salt and pepper. And nice colorful medley. But what you do then is you take those vegetables, and I used a vegetable broth, which you can either buy at the base or you could, if you wanted to just use, salt and water, that's fine. But the vegetable broth does a nice job. It kind of reinforces the veg flavor there. And also then that does add your salt. So now they've been roasted. Now I boiled them again in the vegetable broth, just enough to not even cover them. You almost want some of the broth to be absorbed by these. So you've roasted them, and then you're simmering them again in a flavored broth. So you're putting the flavor back in. So when the vegetables were fully cooked, nice and soft, you check several of them, check your larger pieces to make sure they're cooked all the way. I drained them. And Yeah, there's a little bit of oil. We used canola oil and we roasted them, so that little bit of oil is in there too, which is good. You don't need it. We're going to add some butter to it, but the flavored oil, again, we're keeping all that flavor in there. So drain off the liquid, and unlike mashed potatoes where you're trying to really dry them out and throw a lot of butter and cream in there, these are pretty moist vegetables. They're not going to need to absorb that much liquid. So I did put a couple of butter pats in there, unsalted butter, and some of the broth that I boiled it in, and just a dash of cream just to lighten it up. And then you could use a masher. I used a blender stick and made a puree. You've got lots of body in there, especially from the sweet potato. I think the proportions I used, let's say, equal amounts of sweet potato and carrot and turnip. So say you've got a pound of each. The celery root I went a little bit less on. I had made it one time. I used it too much. The celery root's a strong flavor. So you can go with a little bit less of that if you want. And the neat thing about this is you could vary it whatever. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule on it. I think the carrots and the sweet potatoes will add, the nice color and a lot of the body to it. But you can vary the other vegetables however you want. You wanted to, you can really, when you taste it, you can, in different parts, the celery root comes off first and then the turnip later on. The flavors come through at different times, interestingly enough. Seasoning, I used a little poultry seasoning besides the pepper. Now, you could put, you could flavor this depending on your sauce and your roast. You could put ginger in there. You could do with a little bit of nutmeg or mace if you like. Goes with the red roots. They say I took it with the sage and the rosemary. There's more savory flavors. But certainly you've got sweetness coming from the carrots and the potatoes. I mean, it's really a nice dish. Again, if you want a little bit spice in there, the ginger works well. And you have a nice base for a roast. We made a lamb shank with the red wine. Good red wine sauce, mirepoix from doing the shanks, and a little tomato paste, red wine. And then they used, they actually had some turkey broth. They had made turkey stock from Thanksgiving, froze some. So I used the turkey broth in there, which was nice. Gave a little body to the sauce. And then when I make the gravy, of course, do the same thing. I have the mirepoix, I have all the broth, take out any bay leaves that I've put in there, but then I buzz it with the blender stick and then strain it. So you've got the somewhat thickened sauce. You can either reduce this, or I did reduce a little bit to concentrate flavors, and then I thickened it slightly with some potato starch. Potato starch, we started using that in the restaurant to, we can keep things gluten-free. It does a nice job. It adds, different taste than using flour. It doesn't break when it's when you're holding things hot for a while. Sometimes sauces and soups thickened with flour will call break. It'll kind of get watery on you. With the potato starch, mix it with oil. You don't have to cook it like a roux, and whisk it in, and it thickens right away. And I'll tell you, it's one of our, we have cornstarch. Cornstarch is fine, but leaves things a little bit too clear. The potato starch will give you that cloudy appearance that you want from a gravy. So, roasted vegetable puree, again, you can vary it. Keep it in your repertoire. It's a handy way to use up, even if you have, I've got one carrot and one part, I've got a few things around. Anything that purees will do well with that.
If I saw you in heaven, would it be the same?
I'm going to break for news and then come back. Figured out another nice fried rice dish, too, that I was playing around with. A little riff on the kimchi fried rice. When we come back after the news, we'll go over that. I think a couple of these side dishes, if you have, no matter what you're cooking for a main dish, if you have a couple of these side dishes that they hold well, you can make, do a lot of the prep ahead, that's probably the secret, right? We'll be back at the table in a couple of minutes.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This was an attempted terrorist attack.
New York City's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio speaking of the bomb blast at the Port Authority bus terminal in Manhattan this morning when an improvised explosive device that was strapped to a suspect's body with Velcro and zip ties went off prematurely.
Responding units found an injured 27-year-old male. We've identified him as Ikeet Ula. He had burns and wounds to his body.
NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill there saying the suspect is now hospitalized. Three other people received minor injuries, and they're expected to be okay. Meanwhile, subway and bus service is already getting back on track after this morning's explosion. President Trump will direct NASA to start planning to send American astronauts back to the moon and eventually Mars. He's to make it official when he signs his first space policy directive at the White House later this afternoon. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-15. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
Table here. Chef Bill's table at 100andchamberradio.com. So the other dish I was playing around with, we've done kimchi fried rice, which I think is delicious. And I found this mixture, it's called a power vegetable blend. It's produced by Mann's, M-A-N-N, apostrophe S's. I think the major producer of it, but it's simply, you've seen, you know, pre-shredded cabbage for coleslaw and broccoli slaw, things like that. Well, this is sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, turnips, I think, are in there, or rutabaga. There is some broccoli. There's some kale in there. It's these shredded vegetables that look like, I mean, something you could put in an egg roll, I guess, or a summer roll, spring roll. We've been using it with lunch with some brown rice, kind of a stir fry and shrimp type thing, just standard soy, garlic, ginger, sherry type thing. So I did some hashed Brussels sprouts for the champagne tasting we did. I said, these things, you know, maybe I could do something with these. So I decided to do a fried rice. So for fried rice, you need some cooked rice, obviously. Don't try to do it with fresh hot rice. Doesn't work. But if you have some basmati or some any kind of this short grain's better, but even if you have some regular white rice, next time you make some, just cook a little bit extra and let it get cold. We have a honey sriracha stir fry now on the menu, and I came up, you know, again, it's all proportions, I guess. So we have a sauce base for that we make, and it's just even amounts. So I'd say you take a cup of water, a cup of dry sherry, or you could use the rice wine, if you have some, but dry sherry works fine. A cup of soy sauce, a cup of sriracha, and a cup of honey. You blend these together. Of course, the honey is going to be the sweetener and a little bit of thickener. And also 2 ounces of toasted sesame oil. So we have this mixture that we use for a stir fry. And separately, of course, we have the chopped scallion, the garlic, and the ginger, because those can be added or deleted as guests prefer. But this stir fry sauce, there's no cornstarch or anything in it. But when you cook with it, it does reduce to kind of a glaze. We do like with chicken or shrimp. So it's pretty good. Might be something, again, you know, you want to keep something on hand just to make sure you stir it before you use it to make sure the honey is all dissolved and the sriracha. We'll be keeping it refrigerated and, you know, do a stir fry, a couple of ounces of the sauce. Sometimes, you know, you may want to add a little chicken broth to it, but this sauce base works very well. It will hold up for a long time, although hopefully you don't keep it too long. Hopefully you use it. So we're doing fried rice. So we have our kimchi that we've done, and I said, let me try with this power veg. So all these julienne little shredded vegetables, we start with some scallion, garlic, and ginger. And you can use oil or butter as you prefer. A neutral oil is fine, canola oil. So you start cooking the aromatics, and then you add these shredded vegetables to it, and you're going to saute those a little bit. You want to keep them a little crispy. Then comes the rice, and you want to fry the rice. So you're doing this, you know, pretty quickly over high heat. And the rice, you're going to brown it a little bit, but this is kind of a mixture. Actually, we will combine everything and then actually refry it again at service. But you can certainly fry the rice now. And then simply add some of the sauce to coat. We use some of this sauce and maybe a little bit of extra soy. If you want it spicier, you can add more sriracha, but it really comes off nicely. We always scramble some eggs into our fried rice, too. And what I'll do is take a couple of eggs and add a little bit of mirin to the eggs. A little bit of, let's say, for 2 eggs, I might use... About a tablespoon per egg. It kind of thins them up. It sweetens them. And you can scramble the eggs right into the stir fry if you like. We do it separately and then fold them in just over high heat. Just really quick scramble them. And just adds that extra flavor, that little sweetness, color, texture. And came off as a pretty good fried rice base. We used it for seared tuna. Sear the tuna rare and slice it and fan it over this and drizzle with the wasabi mayonnaise. Relatively easy to make. We have, the powder. You can use the real stuff, but the powder works well. I always make a paste with seasoned rice vinegar and wasabi. Make a paste out of that and then add enough mayonnaise to make it pourable. And there you have it. Anyway, this fried rice, if you like to go that direction with this, with all the vegetables in there, is a pretty good dish. And also for a crowd, a nice change up from your mashed or baked potatoes, rusty potatoes, Swiss style. It's a potato cake. You can do this on the stove, or you could do it in an oven-proof pan and finish it in the oven. But simply shredded potatoes, butter, salt, and pepper. And if you like hash browns or things for breakfast, you know, and if you, again, for a crowd, sometimes it's a little hard to pull off, get everything browned up nicely, unless you've got a huge, heavy pan. But the rusty, you make a cake out of it and you just cut it in wedges. And then you're talking about your shredded potato, and I've used raw potato for this. I've done it with cooked Idaho potatoes. Baked potatoes, things with the raw potatoes, you get that creamy texture in the middle. That's what you're looking for. You've got to melt your butter. And I actually would start with oil, so you want it to brown a little bit better. You have to cook these potatoes also.
nonstick pan, and put a good, you know, a good 3/4 inch layer of potatoes in there. And you're going to cook them slowly, let them cook, let them brown, and they'll start to kind of fuse together. So when you go to flip them, you can slide them onto a plate that's a little bit bigger than the pan. Invert the pan onto the plate. You have to kind of hold them both together with a good oven mitts or towel. And quick motion, flip it back over into the pan. Now when that second side is down, that's when I kind of add some whole butter. You want to, because the potatoes are kind of cooked through. You want to brown the other side. So the whole butter will help that with that little bit of milk solids that are in the butter. And you've got something, you know, you can make a little bit ahead, but serving a big hash brown cake. Very good base for roasts, or if you're doing a brunch and you want hash browns for a crowd, it's one way to do it. Roasty potatoes. Speaking of that, a favorite, and this is good any time. I've done variations on it, even as a nice quick pickup for wine dinners or beer dinners. Alsatian onion tart. Now we think of quiches, which are nice. You know, this one calls for a custard. I've done variations on the onion tart where it's more like even on a flatbread or a pizza dough. And really what you need is good, well-cooked onions. The onions get nice and sweet. Now, you have to start with a lot of onions because there's a lot of water in there that's going to cook away. If you've ever made onion soup, you realize that. So the onion tart, this particular one, the pastry, we're going to put it into a rectangle when we're done instead of a round. This way we could cut it into squares, little squares for a pickup. So 3 cups of sifted all-purpose flour, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt, a pinch of sugar. We're going to chill, have 3/4 cup, which is 1.5 sticks of butter. You want to cut those in small pieces, have it well chilled, and 1/2 cup of shortening, also chilled. You want these chilled. When we chill the fat when we're making a crust like this, because we don't want the butter and flour to kind of mix together, like a beurre manie or like a roux. We want the flakiness comes from the fat and the flour being separate. So you've got 1/4 cup of sour cream and 1/4 cup of cold water. So mix the salt and sugar and sifted flour together, and you're going to cut in the butter pieces and the shortening, just like if you've made pie dough before. And you could do this in the if you have a large food processor, it would hold this, but it's 3 cups of flour. It's sizable. Once the shortening and butter are cut in there is when you add your sour cream and cold water. You might need a little bit more than 1/4 cup of water. If it's this time of year when it's not humid, very dry in the house, you might need a little bit more water. But you'll get this tossed together into a ball, and then we're going to kind of treat it like puff pastry. So we're going to roll this out into an 8x12 rectangle, and then fold it into thirds, just like if you're folding a letter to put in an envelope. Turn it 1/4 turn, and then roll it out again and fold it. And at this point, we can chill it. When you're doing puff pastry, you do that several times to make all the different layers. We're going to do this a couple of times with this just to get that, make the flaky layers there. So you can make this dough ahead. And neat thing, if you have a wherewithal to use pastry or pie dough, you know, the more you make it, the better you get at it. But it's always something you could keep in the refrigerator, well wrapped, or even in the freezer. But and most recipes you'll see the pie dough or tart dough, whatever you're making, you always chill it before you roll it and bake it again. You want to keep that fat and flour separate in the little layers. So we're going to make this tart in a 10x15x1 inch pan. So you're going to roll it out to about a 12x17 rectangle, and then place it in the pan. A black pan, black rectangular baking sheet is probably better for this. absorbs that heat quicker. So you're going to then crimp the edges, just like you would a regular pie, and you're going to dock it, which means if you don't have a little roller with the needles on it there, a dough docker, you could just use a couple of dinner forks and just prick that pastry all over. This keeps air bubbles from forming. We're going to chill this again for a little while, 15, 20 minutes. Have your oven at 400 degrees. We're going to blind bake this. So you're going to line it with foil and put in some either some rice or dried beans or pie weights. 400 degrees for 8 minutes, and then take it out. You can dock it again at this point if you see any bubbles happening. And without the weights in it, then you're going to bake it about another 10 minutes until it's light brown. So this can be done ahead, this crust. Although the two steps, cooking the onions and doing this crust, could also be done about the same time. The filling, we're going to have, you need a half pound of bacon. We're going to cut it into little half-inch pieces. 2 tablespoons of butter. You need 2.5 pounds of onions. These white onions, I do have to peel them. Right top to bottom, and then cut it across into thin slices. A quarter cup of flour, a little bit of salt and pepper. I also, you know, I like to put a little white wine into it after the onions are cooked. So we have these bacon and onions. You're going to cook the bacon until it's crispy. You're going to remove it, leave the bacon fat in there in the pan, add the butter, and you cook these onions slowly. You're going to toss them around, make sure they're coated with the fat. And you cover them. You want to cook them about 25 or 30 minutes. You're going to stir them once in a while. You don't want them to brown too much. But yeah, if you like caramelized, personally, I'd like to, I like a little bit of browning with them for the flavor, but they're going to bake in the oven too, so you don't have to brown them too much. Once they're fully cooked and soft, you're going to add that little bit of flour and put your salt and pepper in there. That's the point. You could splash a little wine in there. Just a few drops for flavor. Again, this mixture could be made ahead also. So you've got this, you've got your blind baked crust, you've got your fully cooked onions and bacon mixture, and so the rest of it's just a custard, which is 1.25 cups of milk, 3/4 cup of cream, or you could use just 2 cups of light cream, half and half. I would use 4 eggs, extra large, or 5 large eggs. Our formula was always 10 eggs to 1/4 of cream. So this is going to give you about a pint. So as I said, 4 extra large or 5 large eggs. That's custard to be good and strong. 1/8 teaspoon of nutmeg, about 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Back that off a little bit if you don't want too much heat. You could also use white pepper. So you've got these eggs. You've got to blend them well. You don't want to whisk them too much air into it, though. Whether you're making a quiche or you're making crepes, you don't want all that air in there. You want it to, I would beat the eggs first and then make sure that the cream and the milk are well blended. An extra step you could take that we would do is always we would strain the eggs or strain the custard to make sure there's no large pieces of egg white in there, because that's nothing worse. You want this mixture to be homogeneous. So you've got the quiche here, 375 degree oven. You put your onions and bacon mixture in the crust and then add the liquids to it, and it's about half an hour, 30-35 minutes. Check it with a knife in the center. Knife inserted there should come out clean when it's done. And now this could be let cool to room temperature. That would be my favorite way, or serve it slightly warm. But this, then you could vary it. I mean, you've got this nice pastry, and whenever I'm doing quiches anyway, I always like to blind bake the crust first. It keeps the custard from soaking in there. And quiches, tarts, whatever name you want to call them, great hors d'oeuvre, great first course, but also a good way to serve brunch to a crowd. There's your egg dish, right? And if you don't want the cream in there, of course, you can always do the old tortilla or the frittata, right? And never mind the crust. I've also done eggs. Crepes are another kind of neat thing to serve. You can make them ahead, fill them with whatever you want, and just warm them back up. I've made even omelet crepes. A little bit of patience for this, but beaten egg, and instead of making a crepe mixture, the little 8 or 9 inch nonstick pan, and simply pour a couple of tablespoons of egg and swirl them just like you would a crepe. Very delicate. If you want to, in the egg mixture, you could add a little bit of cornstarch to help firm them up. But these little flat omelets, if you will, can be rolled around a filling. Again, very delicate, but then you could warm them back up and serve eggs to a crowd. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and then we're going to come back here and see what else we can do to some ideas for our holiday entertaining.
How many times must I say?
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
At the table here. What else? Oh, this is another, again, all-around idea. You could make these and bring them somewhere. Say you're invited to a gathering. They travel well. Make them ahead. Of course, everybody likes pizza, right? But pizza, most people like it served hot and fresh. Make a stuffed breads, and you can vary the fillings. But we use pizza dough for these, and they were, I know one place I worked in Syracuse, always during happy hour. At least one day a week, the bartender would bring in these stuffed breads. And then we started just making them at the restaurant. We had a bakery there anyway, so, and we had pizza dough, so it was, wasn't a stretch. So you can make your own dough, or you can usually buy the fresh dough balls in the supermarket. You need your oven about 400 degrees. And what I do is I roll out the dough to, it's probably going to be about a 12 by 15 rectangle. And you'll need a sheet pan to bake it on. I use a little oil on the cutting board instead of flour. I like to, you know, the oil really helps. You can really stretch the dough out. You don't even really have to roll it. You can almost stretch it with your fingertips. You just want it to be a nice, large, even rectangle. Now, my fillings, again, pepperoni, sausage that's cooked. The broccoli is very good. Spinach. But if you're doing spinach, make sure it's cooked and well-drained and squeeze the liquid out of it. Mushrooms, if you put in there, they should be cooked. But basically what you're doing is making a pizza. If you look at this rectangle, you're making kind of a pan pizza and then rolling it up. So we have our Parmesan, we have our mozzarella or whatever cheeses you like. And I always put a little, if you like garlic in there, you could brush it with garlic oil. Sometimes I'll use a little garlic powder. And I need some herbs in there, like parsley, oregano, basil. You want to season this thing, right? You want to season the cheese goes first, and you leave about an inch or so around the border because you're going to have to be able to roll this thing. And then put your filling in. And once you're everything's evenly spread around there, you simply roll it up, starting, you know, just like rolling a sushi roll. Starting with the edge towards you, you're going to start rolling it away. Just kind of move the dough and make sure the you tuck the filling in there so you'll get it'll be a nice pinwheel effect when you're done. And simply roll it up, and we tuck the ends in. And what I do is kind of with the heel of my hand, just kind of punch them down there. You want to seal up the ends. And now picking this thing up, you kind of hold it with your two hands together if you don't have a big pizza peel, which most people probably wouldn't. You can actually pick this up, kind of compact it with your hands and lift it quickly onto the oiled sheet pan, and then you can spread it, you know, stretch it back out again. So you'll probably go diagonally across the sheet pan. It's got all this filling in it. It's going to give you a big loaf. So I have to let this proof. I don't put it right in the oven. So about a half hour or so, just on the stovetop, someplace where it's fairly warm. And just let that dough, of course, it relaxes the dough and lets it start proofing a little bit. You want a little puff to it. It's not going to be thin crust like pizza. It's going to be bread. And I'll cut some slits diagonally across the top just to let the steam out. And in the 400-degree oven. And it's, you know, 20 minutes. Check it. You'll know when the filling is bubbling out that everything's done. And when it comes out of the oven, I again brush it with a little bit of olive oil. Keeps the crust nice and soft. And these breads now, they travel well. They're good for serving warm. Let them rest a little bit. You can chill them down, reheat them. You can slice them, warm the slices in the microwave, whatever you want to do. Pretty handy. Good portable gift if you need to bring something or just something to have on hand for your own needs. We've got to end the show. We're at the end of the hour. We'll sign off and keep cooking. Have a good time. And next week, maybe a little bit of holiday baking. Chef Bill's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Police in New York City say they have a suspected suicide bomber in custody after an apparent pipe bomb explosion at New York's Port Authority bus terminal, one of the busiest transit hubs in the nation. Sarah Lee Kessler reports from NYC.
Police say he had wires attached to his body and that his bomb either went off prematurely or malfunctioned shortly before